The wife of Tony Nicholson, who died last week after contracting pneumonia, has been speaking publicly for the first time since his death. Mr. Nicholson had locked-in syndrome. He was virtually unable to move after a stroke and had asked the court to clarify what would happen if someone helped him to die. When we put in a call to Jane Nicholson this afternoon, she was busy planning the funeral.
It's going to be a totally non-religious, humanist-type service where there'd be no hymns or prayers or anything, because that would be highly hypocritical when Tony has been so public about being an atheist.
How much preparation did he make for this day?
None at all. Someone else asked me that. It seems crazy, but we never actually spoke about what would happen when he went. I think, to be honest, for him, death is the end, and he always said he didn't really care what we did.
So it's down to you?
Yeah. What I think he would like.
So what do you think he would like?
Just a big party, quite honestly, and send him off in style. He was always one for, to have a good time. So it's turning out to be quite a reunion of, lots of old friends, people I haven't seen for years and years are coming. So we'll certainly do him justice.
What about music?
Music is no hymns. It's all, we're leaving to Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, which is very appropriate for him, considering he was such a rugby freak. He loved his rugby.
And how is organising the funeral from scratch helping you?
It's sort of keeping me busy. It's giving me something to think about. And, all the people that have got in touch that are coming, old friends, it's just lovely to think that they're making such an effort for him. We've got people coming down from Scotland, from Newcastle, all over the place. So everyone's making a huge effort.
Have you had a moment to yourself since he died?
Yeah, sort of. I've got the girls with me, so, we've had some time. But to be honest, I'd rather be kept busy at the moment. So, there'd be plenty of time, for being alone and, reflecting on what's happened.
His death came as a great shock to many people.
Yes, it was as much of a shock for us as well. It was very quick at the end. It was his wish. It was what he wanted. He just gave up. He just lost the will to live.
When were you first aware that he was going to die very soon?
He said to me on the Friday, the day after the judgment, that he just lost the will. The fight had gone out of him. And I thought that, maybe we can, talk him round. And, at that point, because he was still seemed to be quite well, he really didn't have a great deal of choice. But on the Sunday, his breathing became quite bad, and by Monday, he was very chesty, in and out of consciousness, and it was then that he told the doctor that he didn't want antibiotics and that he would stop having all fluids, sort of to hurry things up. So really, it all happened really all over about 4 days.
And that conversation with the doctor, was that something Tony talked about with you first?
Yes. I knew that he was going to refuse antibiotics, but when the doctor came and, I said to him, you're absolutely sure, but he made it quite plain that he didn't want treating. He's had chest infections in the past and always been treated, but this time I think he saw the opportunity and he took it because he couldn't, carry on any longer. He was just so devastated by the ruling.
I suppose that time, that knowledge that he would die quite soon, gave you some time to say goodbye.
Yes, it did. He went down incredibly quickly, from one minute from being in and out of consciousness to being unconscious. But we did all have a chance to speak to him. It became very difficult for him to speak to us. He couldn't hold his head up, and because he had to communicate with his eyes, he was finding it very, very difficult. We'd sort of reverted back to one blink for yes and two for no. But he did have a few things to tell us, and we certainly all had time with him, telling him what we wanted him to know as well.
At any point, did you try to persuade him otherwise in terms of his treatment?
Not really. When he said that he didn't want any antibiotics, I made it quite plain, are you absolutely sure? And he was. And there was, I think by this point, there's no point in trying to get him to change his mind. He was suffering terribly. The last few months, things had gone downhill quite a lot with his physical being. His posture was bad and it was a lot worse, and things were becoming more and more difficult for him, and he just couldn't take it anymore, and really trying to talk him out of it was, by this point, was a waste of time.
Death was a relief for him?
It was, definitely, and it was the relief that he wanted, you know, so badly. It was just a shame that it wasn't the way that he wanted it. But it was, you know, sort of, not quite, but it was certainly for him, it was better than carrying on as he was.
In some sense, was it a relief for you?
Yes, it was. I mean, that probably sounds terrible, but, you know, the watching him suffer the way that he had been suffering, and no one really knows quite how much he was suffering except, you know, us at home. His life was just, it was torture for him. I mean, that's the only way of describing it. He was waking up every morning, you know, he used to say, another day of, you know, same as yesterday, and things getting slightly worse every day. He just couldn't hack it any longer.
You're busy preparing for the funeral and so on, so maybe it's hard to say, but how is the house without him?
The actual house is much the same, because he never used to leave his room, or very rarely, so when I'm sat watching TV in the sitting room, it's no different than any other time. What's difficult is, like, when I go out, is not having to be back by a certain time. You know, like when I went out the other day, I came back and I went to go into his room, because I would always check his room, you know, as soon as I got back. So, you know, that's difficult. It's a funny situation. You sort of, you know, you miss him, but you don't, because he never came into the sitting room.
We spoke before on PM after one of the court hearings about the plans you must have had for your retirement and so on late in life before Tony's stroke. Mm-hmm. Are you putting any thought to this stage as to your plans for your life now?
Oh, no, I haven't even thought about it. It's always something that I did think of, you know. I mean, the time would come, I'm pretty sure. But at the moment, I'm just thinking about getting, you know, this week over and done with, and then I'll start thinking about what I'm going to do with myself.
How are your daughters?
They're great. They've been, you know, they're a huge support. They both feel much the same way as I do, you know. We lost him 7 years ago, the real Tony. I mean, that was one of the last things he said to me. He said, you know, I'm don't grieve for me, I'm already dead. And it's very true. You know, it was 7 years ago that we grieved properly for him.